The Sunday Grill with Orla Apple on Beat.
And our first guest is celebrating extraordinary women in a book called Empower Her. Linda Hanlon is a retired psychotherapist turned photographer, and this is her debut book, which is a collection of photography portraits that captures the essence of female empowerment in modern Ireland. Linda joins me this morning, fresh from her book launch in Dublin during the week, to tell me about this beautiful book and the exhibition that goes along with it. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill, Linda.
Thank you all for having me on, and I hardly recognise myself in that glorious introduction.
How did you feel about the word retired as a young woman? Retired is an odd word.
I had a 20-year career as a psychotherapist, which, you know, is quite extraordinary to my mind from when I started off. And my retirement, I just brought a little closer to home. I've been thinking about it anyway. I've been thinking about bringing it nearer, and Sometimes a brush with illness can focus the mind, as they say, and it focused my mind in a very positive way. Mm-hmm, so and you, I took the opportunity.
And it was around COVID time that you had a brush with illness, was it?
At the end of 2019, okay. I had a cancerous tumour that was removed, and and I had some treatment, preventative treatment then in 2020. By the end of that year, I decided to retire.
Life-changing, you would call that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, life-changing is right. And you're kind of very, I was very lucky, I have to say, Orla, and I want to say that for anyone who's listening, that I was very lucky insofar as the, and that might sound quite contradictory when one talks about cancer, but I was lucky it was caught. The treatment was excellent under Professor Donald Brennan, the matter, and the radiotherapy team there. And I got a kind of a new lease of life, and I've been well since. So
brilliant, good to hear. And what did you find, Linda? Was it the working hours, or what did you feel you needed to change in your life to turn to what was essentially your hobby in photography?
I think that at the time, I sort of my focus in life had shifted. I think inevitably, as one goes through a life-changing kind of experience, no matter what that might be, for me, it kind of changed my focus into thinking, you know what, maybe I can give myself permission to kind of come out of the sort of 9-to-5 responsible job and maybe pursue something that, and at that stage, I didn't know what I wanted. You know, photography was I was tricking away at that, but I didn't really know that I was going to be doing something like this. Mm-hmm. But I think I wanted a bit of time and space to be able to pursue something of my own interest, I guess.
And you certainly did pursue it, because 54 women are featured in this project and exhibition.
Yeah.
That is a lot of women, and names we would recognise, and names we mightn't necessarily. People like Mary McAleese in this, also Laura DeBarrow that you'd know from Instagram and all her work with DIY and what she does to really teach us how to, you know, empower ourselves as women to be able to do all those jobs. How did you pick the women? Or did the women pick you?
We went searching. I say we because I include my colleague and friend, very good friend, Maria McGrain, also a photographer and a retired psychotherapist, and she held my hand practically all the way through this. It's as much hers as mine, this whole project. I'd had the idea a couple of times. It came into my mind about a year or two before I began it. And as quickly as the idea came into my mind, it went back out, because I had convinced myself that somebody had already done it. in the end, March of 2023, I plucked up the courage and I sent an email. There was a few people I had in my mind who had gotten some publicity around their appointments or their achievements, like the Provost and Trinity. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'd send an email to her. Thinking, of course, that this is probably very unlikely, that she's a very busy person and maybe wouldn't have the time or wouldn't work. And sure as gone, 2 weeks later, I got a positive affirmative yes. And then I thought, oh, right, well, I better get about the business of doing what I said I was going to do. Then I began to contact other people that were in my mind, like the commander of the Navy, Roberta Bryan, the naval diver, Talia Britton, the crane driver, Kate Fahey. So I started pursuing them because I was aware of them, had gotten some publicity. Mm-hmm. And between that, they then continued my search looking for, the book, I should say, has people who have, women who have achieved personal and professional achievements and career firsts, although not all of them have done something for the first time.
Okay.
So there's a broad reach of women who are trailblazing, in my view, and some we got by word of mouth, and a couple of them were colleagues that we were aware of.
Okay.
So that's how we kind of gathered. We thought, first of all, we might be lucky if we got 20. And then we kind of thought, okay, maybe we might get 30. And then coming up to the end of last year, we've stopped shooting in December of last year. We had the great total of 54. Right. And lucky us.
Brilliant. You have a lovely tagline on your website, a really powerful message. You need to see it to be it. And even looking at the photos, yeah. You know, looking at the Aer Lingus pilots, and, you know, really breaking stereotypes.
Absolutely. And that is not my tagline. I'd like to claim it as mine, but it's one that's out there in the world, and it's a brilliant tagline.
Mm.
And a few, actually, and I think Lisa might have been one of them, that mentioned that very thing about you've got to see it to be mm-hmm. it. And my hope is that putting faces to names, to jobs, to career pathways, will encourage others to say, do you know what? I look like her, I sound like her, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is, it's a kind of a nod to the future as much as it is marking the present of all of these women. And hence the Empower Her is kind of a nod, that title is a nod to the future also mm-hmm. of, you know what, you can be what you want to be, so long as you're not afraid to go with your gut and your desire and be encouraged to pursue what mm-hmm. is what you really want to do. And the huge thing that has come out of it is about resilience, that a lot of women spoke about how they, you know, their careers didn't go in a straight line and they had setbacks in their careers, but they continued on. They found some bounceability back in them, and that has stood to them. So I think, you know, there's a lot of really good advice in the book.
And each photograph has that a bit of advice in there, like from Doreena Allen, for example, and lots of different names too. Did your decades, your 2 decades in psychotherapy influence mm-hmm. the stories you wanted to tell? Did it have a part to play in it, do you think?
It influenced me insofar as I've been probably curious all of my life about human nature and what really was, I suppose, in a way, I was curious about the anatomy of resilience. And I was as a psychotherapist, and that kind of continued into this project. I could see where the two kind of careers kind of collided, insofar as I was kind of curious to know what actually, when we think about resilience, what are the component parts of that? Is it different for different people? Is it the same? Is there a generality about it? I was curious about that. And I suppose that's the overlap between my previous work and this one. I suppose if one is a curious mind about these things and you're a psychotherapist, it's inevitable that it's going to get triggered off in whatever hobby I was going to take up. And it certainly has been in this one too.
And it's such a conversation that we have these days about young people and resilience and how they need resilience more than ever now.
Absolutely. And this idea of, you know, I'm not saying that young people pursue perfection, but we have a desire, I suppose, as human beings to want to pursue perfection. And actually in that pursuit, things can drive us in all kinds of ways. and actually maybe the perfection is not the goal. It's more being true to yourself, I guess, and believing in yourself and your capabilities, mm-hmm. accepting your limitations and seeing if, you know, when I meet a limitation, can I actually push through that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for me to go that one bit further to do whatever I might want to do? And the big thing that comes out of the advice that the 54 women were giving as well, and it's kind of universal and common to them, is to not be afraid.
Mm.
And I know that, you know, from young people that I worked with and my own family, young people are afraid, and there's a lot of anxiety in the world at the moment about the planet and about everything that's going on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so the advice that the 54 are given is important advice, I think.
Yeah. So inspiring advice as well, and inspiring women of all different ages,
brilliant.
And from across Ireland as well. You have 500 copies published and 100 are being donated to schools. And that is a message of empowerment, as you said, and a message of resilience as well, that schools will have these copies.
Absolutely. And the idea, as you mentioned earlier on about seeing it, you can be it. You need to see it. You need to see people who are doing things, women who are doing things in various walks of life. And that's what we aimed for, was to try and gather as many people from as different walks of life as we possibly could. And that meant that we traveled the country all over Ireland to find our 54. And our age group is from 19 to 95 when they were photographed. And that got us thinking also about, the chapter is interspersed with historical facts about positive changes that happened legislatively and societally for women in the 100 years.
And who's the 95-year-old?
That's Maeve Taylor. And she it was fantastic that Maeve actually made it to the exhibition the other night. And she was a superstar among the 54 women and everybody was gathered there. Maeve is an artist, a very well-known artist in Dublin, and did a lot of fundraising also for Dublin hospitals and schools in the late 60s, early 70s, and probably was a bit of a trailblazer in that endeavour too. So
brilliant. And then who was the 19-year-old?
One of the 19-year-olds, because there's more than one, is Kate Fahey, who was the tower crane operator.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and her friend, actually, Kate Hanley, who's an apprentice electrician. And Kate is not the first female apprentice electrician, but she's the only apprentice electrician in a very big company that she works in, which is male-dominated, which I think is terrific. And amazing young women. With another young woman in her early 20s as well, Petra O'Flaherty, who's a stonemason, stonecutter. I mean, these women are just... I just stand in awe of all of them. And it was such a pleasure for me to do this. And I got gifted every single day in meeting each of these women, as did my colleague Maria. And we kind of said it at the time, when Maria observed it, that a sort of a sisterhood, even though we met them all individually to photograph them, a sort of a sisterhood has kind of emerged out of how we've curated them in the book and in the exhibition. Which is powerful, and I feel very empowered by them.
Brilliant, and that's what it's all about, and that's why it's called Empower Her. As you said, there is an exhibition running at the moment. If anyone in the southeast is in Dublin over the next coming weeks, it runs until May 29th in the Central Bank down towards, I'm going to call it the Point Depot, but you know what I mean.
That's a good marker for me too. Down on North Quay,
down
not
towards
on Dame
the North
Street,
Quays,
down North Quay,
not on Dame Street. Yeah, so
not
down towards
Dame Street,
the end of the Lewis stop there by the toll bridge for our side, the southeast side of the country.
Exactly.
But you can check out Instagram. There's lots of photos up there as well. It's at Empower Her Project, and it's also empowerherproject.net. And as we said, 500 copies, 100 already gone to school. So if you want to check it out, empowerherproject.net is the website. Linda, thank you so much for talking to me this morning, and best of luck with everything.
Oh, thank you so much. And can I just give one shout out to the Central Bank for all of their support in this whole project from the very beginning? Sharon Donnery, who's one of our participants, who's the deputy governor in the bank, and her team, Owen O'Reilly. Also, my daughter is co-founder of Another Land with Helen Devine, who designed the book and create the exhibition.
Good stuff. Thanks a million, Linda. Lovely to talk to you this morning.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grail on Beat.
May has been a successful month for Southeast students in the Faroga NFTE or Nifty Youth Entrepreneur Competition. Two 16-year-old students from Loretto Secondary School in Clonmel were crowned the overall winners. They are Anna Mae Condon and Clodagh Desmond, and their project was called Stick It. And Stick It is an affordable device which attaches easily onto gear bags and school bags, bicycles even, to hold your hurleys and your hockey sticks. And that means it makes transportation of sticks and sports sticks hands-free and easier. So an ingenious idea, I have to say. So well done to Anna Mae and Clodagh. And another ingenious idea comes from a Wexford student, and that is Caitlin Brown Keogh, and she's from Cláiste Áthá in Kilmuckridge, who was recognised for creating a board game called Know Your County, the Wexford edition. And Caitlin joins me on the Sunday Grill to tell us more and maybe ask me some questions from the board game Know Your County, the Wexford edition. So I should know my county, really. Congratulations to you, Caitlin.
Thank you very much.
How have the last few weeks been? Did you kind of get the feeling that you were onto something good with your board game idea?
Yeah, it's definitely been, it's been very busy last few weeks, but I'm delighted to say that I'm delighted with the opportunity.
Tell us a little bit about the Faroga Nifty Youth Entrepreneur Competition. What does it involve?
The Nifty competition is the network for teaching entrepreneurship. So it helps young people create up ideas for their products or prototypes. It inspires young people.
Great. And has this always been something? Have you always been coming up with ideas for things?
Back when I was in primary school, I came up with the idea to create a board game on my village in sixth class. So that then developed into the board game on Wexford this year in TY. But other than that, there hasn't been previously much ideas.
So this has been a few years in the making then.
Yes. I knew I wanted to develop it further after doing the one on my village, Blackwater, but I wasn't sure how. So back in September, I began planning for a Know Your County Wexford Edition board game.
Good stuff. Well, tell us about the board game. How does it work?
So you roll the dice, and there's six counters and a dice in each game, and you roll the dice and you go around the board game and visit the 29 different Wexford locations. And when you land on one square, which is a quiz square, you answer a multiple choice quiz question based on Wexford. And you have to go around the board and try and get to the end square.
And this, would you like to do an addition for every county?
I am in the process of creating another product and game. So.
Okay. And was there much research in this? Since, you know, when you were 12 and you did the Blackwater one, I presume you knew lots about your hometown and home village in Blackwater. But was there lots of research in a whole county?
There was a lot of research and fact checking, because there is different information online that doesn't correlate with with the correct information.
Things that people assume.
So there was a lot of fact-checking and going through the questions, but I was delighted to do it and I learned so much from the researching.
And how many questions are there?
There is almost 100 quiz questions.
So that's a lot of research. And are they all kind of history, or what kind of genres do they fall into?
It varies from history to factual numbers, to music, to art, to geography. It varies completely. There's loads of different types of questions to try and reach every audience.
And then when it comes to this competition, did you have much help? You know, collaboration is usually the way that lots of, when you might have a spark of an idea, but you need help from other people, or were you completely doing this on your own throughout?
Yeah, I'm a sole entrepreneur, but I had great help from my parents, my mom and my stepdad, and my teachers along the journey. I got a lot of help from my teachers, Miss Carroll and Miss Roach. They were the two main enterprise teachers who were helping me throughout this program. They helped with meeting me at the interviews and trips and supporting me along the way.
Brilliant. And it must have been so exciting to not only go up to the awards, but to win an award. Tell us about what you won.
I won in the Student Enterprise Program. I won One to Watch Award back at the start of the year, which was the top three in Wexford. And then I progressed to the top eight in the Nifty competition in nationally.
So that was the final you were at last week, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Well done. Will I try one of these questions now? I shouldn't say just give me a North Wexford one. I should just pick a random question, which I will definitely get wrong, Caitlin, and disgust myself and my County Wexford roots. But will we try something?
You might not get it wrong.
Okay.
I picked one that you might know, might not know. I don't know whether it's better to say
stress,
that.
The stress. Let's go for it. Ask me the question.
What town is known as Wexford Market Town?
Oh,
is
I know
A,
this.
Is it A, Enniscorthy, B, New Ross, or C, Gorey?
Being from Gorey and knowing it's a market town, it's C, Gorey.
Yay!
Woohoo! Have you any other questions there? Till I try one since I'm on a roll?
What Westlife singer filmed his hit single in Blackwater?
Wow. And you don't give me the name of the song. You just say that someone. So let's see. This isn't a Wexford thing. This is trying to work out which of them did solos. I'm going to go with Blackwater. I'm going to go with Shane Filan.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. I did not know that. I have to admit, I did not know the answer to that. Was that one of the questions?
Lucky guess.
Was that one of the questions you created when you were in sixth class?
Yeah, I did. It was a part of the Blackwater game, but I incorporated it into the Wexford one as well.
Oh, brilliant.
I think it was the only one I kind of interlapped.
And have many people played Know Your County?
Yes, a lot of people have played it. I've sold over 300 board games.
What? Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. And how are you selling them? Are they online or what?
I sell them online through my social media. I can deliver them. We're on post. I also sell them at a lot of different craft fairs. I have three main ones coming up. I'm in Pride in Ryan Park in Wexford next Saturday.
Yeah,
and then Kiltealy the day after, next Sunday. And then Blackwater, I have one in June the 2nd.
Brilliant.
So just a lot busy.
Are you enjoying that side of it, the selling side?
Yeah, it's really good. I also have my board game stocked in Red Books Wexford and Blackwater Coffee Company.
Wow, fair play to you. So has this kind of given you the want to do this sort of thing when you're going to college, or if you don't go to college even, would you like to get into business?
I've definitely considered it a lot more now this year. It wasn't previously on my agenda at all, but I'm unsure what I want to do, so it's definitely a consideration.
Brilliant. Well, look, congratulations. 300 sold. That is amazing. And also to reach the finals of the Faroga Nifty Youth Entrepreneur Competition. Give us those markets you're going to be at again. So you're going to be at Pride, which is in Min Ryan Park, next Saturday. Then you're in Kiltealy on Sunday. Is that right? At their farmer's market?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the National School.
Okay, good stuff. And then you're going to be in Blackwater itself next month in June.
Yes.
Brilliant. And how can people have a look at your social media if they want to buy in the meantime?
I have a Facebook, which is Know Your County Wexford Edition.
Okay, good stuff.
A Instagram, which is know/your/county/board/game.
Okay, I see it here. So that's easy to find.
Yeah. And a TikTok, which is know.your.county.
Okay, so I think if you search in Know Your County board game,
yes,
even
if,
on
sorry,
Instagram.
If you search in Know Your County Wexford Edition, it will come up on any of the three socials.
Well, congratulations to you. What a brilliant idea. And it's also available in Red Books in Wexford and in the Blackwater Coffee Company as well. That is Caitlin, and she has created Know Your County board game, the Wexford edition. I'm very proud, Caitlin, to say I got both of those questions right. I don't know if I do much better than that, but well done to you, and best of luck with everything in the future.
Thank you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat.
It's the Sunday Grill on Beat 102, 103. And the Haven Rescue, who are based in County Tipperary, have been expressing their worries on social media about a slowdown in applications for adoption and a significant amount of requests to surrender dogs to the shelter. Rosie Dowling is at the Haven in County Tipperary, and she's on the phone to tell us more. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill, Rosie.
Thanks a million for having us, Orla.
Now, you've had a bit of a sad time. You put up five different dogs looking for their forever homes and you didn't get one single offer of application. What do you think is going on?
Well, I honestly don't know. It's the first time ever it's happened. I'm involved myself in rescue for the last 15 years and I have never, ever seen it happen before.
Is it about the type of dog, or does that kind of happen, that there's trends?
No, not really, because there's a variety of dogs. So like, we had one small dog, we had two kind of active medium dogs, we had one large dog. So like, it was kind of across. Usually when we put dogs up, we kind of put them up in different kind of, so that it kind of attracts a wide variety of people. So I know things, you know, the cost of living, housing crisis, everything is kind of building up against us, but it's the first time that I have ever seen that not one application came in. Usually you would have some form of people applying.
Yeah, because there are certain, rescue centres that are massive on social media, and I've even applied for dogs, and you mightn't even get a response because they have such a huge intake. It's as if, there's a handful who almost have grabbed a hold of that side of social media. Would you agree with that, or...?
I kind of think there is a huge social media presence. Yeah. And look, if the likes of small, I don't want to pick a certain breed,
course,
but like, you
course.
Know, the small fluffy dogs come in, they always have a quicker rehoming. For instance, if a Yorkie comes in, you'd have 25 applications in the first half an hour kind of a thing, whereas the bigger, larger breeds might not necessarily get as much traction as the smaller dogs. Mm-hmm. But one of the dogs was a smaller, he's a little Frenchie cross, and he's had no inquiries. So wow. I don't know, kind of, okay. It's just very strange.
Yeah, cost of living could be it, as you said. And then there's the poor old story of Marmalade. Tell us about Marmalade.
So Marmalade came through the pound system. She's a little lurcher girl. She's a lovely little thing that she
and
came
lurchers
in on.
Lurchers are so popular usually.
The lurcher is kind of the forgotten breed in Ireland, unfortunately. Once they get people see them, and we do often have people be inquiring about dogs, and we would suggest them, and the first thing it'd be like, oh no, I don't have room for an active dog.
Yeah.
And it's actually the other way around. Once they get their kind of 20 minutes or half an hour of mad time, after that, like, their couch potatoes, wow. they sleep. We do an awful lot of rehoming to actually apartments.
Okay.
With lurchers and greyhounds. And that has been quite successful for us, because once they get their walk, or once they get their energy burned off, they're happy enough to lie around and sleep and be happy. So they're actually quite ideal for that. So yeah. So she's currently up there available.
And a good few people have applied, but you kind of don't get past the process of them answering their phones even.
Yeah, like lately we're finding, and I don't know, this is something new, that people will apply and they'll get to the home check stage, and then you just don't hear anything.
Okay.
So we don't push people into, and maybe we're not overly pushy. Like if you're, my way of thinking about it is, if you're applying for a dog, you want this dog. So if we come back and be like, oh, look, we need this done or that done, and you don't come back to us, well, then that's OK. It's up to you to follow up and come back to us rather than us chasing you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't want to push dogs onto people.
Yeah, be sure if it's what you think.
Be 100%, and that if you want to follow through, then follow through. Like, we understand that maybe somebody might apply and then they might talk to a partner, or they might think about work and be like, well, actually, no, look, this is not time. And so they don't come back to us. So if that's okay, that's fine. We would prefer that then, to go through the process and then have it not work, if that makes sense.
And do you see more dogs being surrendered then?
Yeah, unfortunately, the surrendering is just gone. It's just skyrocketed even since Christmas. Like, I was talking to my committee there last year, and we were like, God, it's so busy. But actually, since Christmas, we are taking, it could be anything. Like, even yesterday, I think somebody counted up, there was 22 surrender applications between everything, between owner surrender, greyhound trainers, the pound with dogs coming in astray. Like, between everything, it was 22. Like, we are a small organization, so like, we're very good, as in we have a very great support network from our foster homes, and we have a transport group and stuff like that. But ourselves, there's myself and Jenny Nolan, set it up, and we do the main kind of running around and organizing, and then it filters down into the foster group, the transport group, and we even set up a walking group this year. That was a great initiative actually set up by Jenny, that on a Saturday we open up to the public, and they can come down and they can take one of our doggies and usually take it in for a walk into the park, get some pictures. So it kind of works out for people that maybe don't have a dog or can't have a dog at the minute. They can still get out for a walk, and the dog gets that extra bit of socialising.
Yeah,
and
lovely. I'd love to do that if that was near me.
Yeah.
Well, listen, let's get people looking at your Instagram page. You have 12,000 followers, so people will know it well. You are the Haven Rescue. That's how people can search from you. You also have a link up if people want to donate What else would you like to see people do at this stage where you're seeing more dogs surrendered and no one really coming forward looking to adopt a dog?
Well, I suppose I'd like people to get kind of behind Oz and get behind their local rescue, like even if it's not Oz, get behind your local rescue. Share anytime you see a dog looking for a home or anything like that, like a share and a like means an awful lot. People don't think about that, but it does. On the wider scheme of thing, I suppose we'd like people to think about, you know, adopt, as we always say, adopt, don't shop. There's loads of dogs out there and every breed, it's not like before, every breed can be got now in rescue. So we'd say to people to take your time, have a look, research the breed, think about your lifestyle before getting a dog, and think about, do you, can you look after this dog for the next 15 years? Yeah. It's not until the next one. Exactly. It's 15 years plus.
Exactly. And think of all eventualities, then, I suppose, when you go on holidays, who would look after that dog and all that stuff as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And there are actually things that people don't. And we ask that as part of our adoption process, like what's going to happen, like if, you know, God forbid, you know, anything happens or you're going on holidays or there's a new baby and stuff like that. Like, and, and people like they kind of stand there and look at you and be like, oh, you're like, yeah, these are all things that you need to think about because these are things that are going to happen. Do you know, so we do advise people to think about that, think about the future, and then, no hassle, get in contact with us, and we're happy enough to match people with dogs, and not necessarily, you know, a person might think about a certain dog, and then we'd be like, well, no, this would match your lifestyle better, and so far, look, we've been very lucky, we've matched, I think it's about 400 and something dogs last year.
Which is brilliant. Well, look, have a look at your Instagram. It is The Haven Rescue. I'm particularly taken with Phoebe, who's the 6 to 7 year old German wired haired pointer cross. She looks amazing. No chickens, though. No cats or chickens.
No chickens. She saw my chickens here last week.
Oh, really?
She would have liked to have some KFC.
Okay,
I think.
So that's good to know. Phoebe is not is a chicken lover, but all the wrong ways.
Yeah, in the wrong way.
But look, The Haven Rescue is the Instagram. And Rosie, thanks a million for talking to me. And thanks a million for everything that you do for all those animals as well. And that is in County Tipperary. Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat.
You're listening to The Sunday Grill here on Beat 102, 103 on this beautiful weekend, and our Brian is here, joins us this morning. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Orla.
How's it going?
Grand, Jan, yourself?
Yeah, grand. So we have another A24 movie, but you seem a bit deflated about it, and we were all about Civil War. This one stars Kristen Stewart, who isn't the most prolific of actresses. I feel she really chooses what she wants to be in. The last one was probably the Princess Di movie, was it?
She was in some sort of Cronenberg movie, but I never saw that.
Okay, she likes the arty stuff.
Yeah, well, I think after Twilight, she was like, I hated doing that, so I don't want to do stuff unless I'm interested in it.
She's a bit publicity shy as well, isn't she?
Charlie's Angels as well, actually, and that was.
Yes, forgot that.
That was a movie.
Well, this one is called Love Lies Bleeding. As we said, it comes from the studios of A24, and it's from writer director Rose Glass. Kirsten is in it, as is Ed Harris too, and a man called Dave Franco, who I think is a man called James Franco, but is not.
That's his
any
brother.
Relation. It's his brother. There you go.
They look very similar.
And of course, as we said a few weeks ago, A24 is the studio behind Moonlight and Lady Bird, Ex Machina, stuff like that, Hereditary.
All the kind of weirder stuff.
All the weirder stuff. So is this in the same ilk? Well, Brian is going to tell us after we listen to a clip from it. And I have to say, it was very hard to find a clip that made any sense when it came to Love Lies Bleeding. So I hope this makes some sense.
A bit more powerful than a punch.
Fuck yeah.
Call me when it's done.
What is this place? Huh?
You don't understand. Get back in the car.
They found a body.
Looks like you've got your hands full.
You'll regret this.
We'll just need to fight back. I'm gonna tell them everything you ever did.
FBI, open up.
Are you threatening me?
There you go. Did that make sense, Brian? For the man who's seen this.
Yeah, it did for me, but I don't know for you.
Look, I really like Kristen Stewart. I think she is... Kirsten?
Kristen.
Kristen. And I was about to say Kirsten Dunst, who weirdly was in Civil War, the other A24 movie that we talked about. I really like her. I think she's a brilliant actress. I really do. I think she gets a bit of a bad rap because she doesn't play the game. But I think as quality goes, she is a little bit of quality. But sometimes when those sort of actors look for quality, it doesn't always make for the most entertaining of films.
Yeah.
Films. I'm very Irish with my film.
I think it's one of those situations, like, I look through her films and there's no real, like, Into the Wild she was in, that, but she was nowhere near the main character that she was in, like, the Princess Diana movie, Spencer.
Yeah. And she was in that Snow White movie years and years ago.
Outside of Spencer, I don't think I've ever been like, wow, she was brilliant.
Really?
Yeah.
I really think she's great. Now, she's a bit samey with the voice and everything, but I think she's brilliant.
I don't know. Like, I've never been, like, blown away by her performances apart from Spencer, I'd say.
Okay.
So the trailer for this, it is weird, but it's like, interesting.
How,
like,
would you sum it up? What would you call it? What type of a movie is it? Here he goes.
A lesbian thriller.
Okay. Is it a bit of a road movie as well?
No.
No?
I see, okay. I thought it was. From the trailer, I got the vibe that it was.
Yeah, me too.
The trailer gives a vibe that, like, there's an incident and then they're escaping from it.
Are you not allowed to tell us what the incident is?
It's a tiny bit of a spoiler. I don't want to say what it is. All right. But there's a murder afoot.
Yeah.
And the vibe I got going into it, I was actually quite excited because I love a good road trip movie that
me too.
They kill and then they're on the hunt and her dad is bad.
Calum
and
Louise.
He's like, they killed the wrong person. He's after them and he sent his whatever. Like,
but it's not that.
It's not that. It's a murder happens and then they try and lie low as much as they can. But
and who's they? Kristen and?
Kirsten and Katie O'Brien playing Jackie.
Okay. And are they girlfriends?
They're together. They'd never put a label on it.
Okay.
Because it's only in the early stages. You don't want to. But they might be in love. Yeah. Who knows? But it's one of those things where it's like, I expected so much. And you're like, I was like, okay, this is going to be a slow build up. And then once it pops off, it's going to go crazy. And it popped off. I'm like, okay, maybe there's a little bit before it goes crazy. And then there's like little things happening. Like, okay, it's going to go crazy now. And it just never... Oh. Goes crazy, and I needed a bit of crazy, do you know?
Yeah, you need a bit of crazy.
It's kind of it's not a slow burn either, but it's just, it feels like it never really hits a height.
And
me,
does it wrap everything up, or does it leave you wanting?
It definitely wraps everything up, but there's something happens at the end that's just like, what was, okay, oh, A24 made this movie, okay, that makes more sense, but at the same time, this confused me, and myself and my friend that went to see it, we were like, that was fine, like it wasn't a bad movie, but
okay.
What was that ending though? Like, he was more confused about it than I was, to be fair. I thought, okay, look, it's supposed to be a metaphor, but then also realistically it made it happen, so I don't know.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a weird ending, but it's I don't know, there was no kind of substance to it. I'm not gonna like, there was good acting in it. There was a cool story, but at the same time, then things would just happen. You're like, why didn't you just listen?
Like, did it keep you engaged?
Yeah, to be fair, it did. I did. However, my thoughts did drift to the takeaway I was going to get afterwards a few times.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
I can't say I was fully in for the entire film.
And you know, you've had a big roller coaster of movies. Like The Fall Guy, it moved. It got into it. Like said, this doesn't seem to get into it.
Well, see, this is the thing. The Fall Guy was, people were saying that it was too chaotic. And I was like, no, it's the perfect amount.
You love chaos.
I'm a massive fan of chaos. The more chaos, the better.
And of course, you've had Civil War. There's a lot of chaos
as well. That's pretty much like chaos and then like a little drive and then on the drive there's chaos. So,
yeah. And this has slowed it down a bit, but this almost to the drab stages, would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, it's like, there's, you know, yeah, it's so many scenes. It's like, oh, this could be half an hour shorter. I don't think this could be half an hour shorter. I feel like it's a nice pace, but I just feel like I am not the target demo for this. I like there's certain parts of it that I did enjoy, but I just say the majority of it I was just kind of like waiting for it to kind of go crazy, and the last maybe act of it was kind of definitely more intense, but it definitely wasn't what I expected it was going to be, because I don't know, they even build up things like, oh, the FBI are kind of lurking and stuff, and then they kind of fade off as the movie goes on, so it's I don't know. I think I was just expecting more before I went in. I think the trailer, like I was actually quite excited. I thought it was going to be this kind of more.
Well, it's been described as a heady mix of romance, murder and bodybuilding. You've told us about the romance. You've told us about the murder. Tell us about the bodybuilding.
Yeah, so Jackie is a bodybuilder.
And like, Jackie is Christian, is it?
No, Jackie is Katie O'Brien.
Okay.
Kristen is Lou, and she runs the gym.
Okay.
And basically Jackie comes in and starts going to the gym, and then they're like, oh my God, straight away. And Jackie kind of starts taking some sort of steroids. I don't know enough about bodybuilding to know what kind of steroids they are. And
is that where the trouble starts?
That's a bit of the trouble, but okay. That's where the bodybuilding comes into it more, because Jackie's a bodybuilder and she's wants to go to Vegas to do bodybuilding. That's how she drifts into town.
Okay.
But even when she does get to that competition, things don't go well either. So
okay,
I don't know. There's kind of a nice time in it, but it's for a lot of people that it doesn't end nicely.
Okay. Do you want to black pudding it?
I'll give it like a 6.
Oh. It's been a long time since we've had a 6-hour, Brian. Yeah,
it's okay.
Okay.
It's just, again, I'm just not the target demographic for it. Like, it's a slower movie, and it's just like, they don't work for me.
Okay.
There's a lot of romance, sexy scenes, and I just always find that they're a waste of time unless they're funny. So.
Okay. I'm just looking at the A24 movies for 2024, and you know, a lot of them are to be announced, but we know the dates have been released now. Love Life is Bleeding is one of them. But like some of the titles, they're really bizarre. You know, this Tuesday that we talked about a few weeks ago, that's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. There's a bird featured in it. Have a look at the trailer.
It's a prequel to Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Well done. And then there's a thing called Janet Planet, and another movie with a unicorn in it, and I can't find the title of it. But remember, A24, the people who brought us The Iron Claw, which was massive a few months ago, and my movie of 2024, The Zone of Interest, just phenomenal.
I think A24 are the only, like, they definitely take the most risks.
Yes, they definitely do.
And I do respect that. Like, even if I don't completely vibe with this one, I definitely...
You have the respect, you know.
Vibed with many, many before, and I respect the fact that they're trying something completely different.
So. You have vibed before.
I have never seen a lesbian thriller before, so do you know?
Was there not one at the start of the year, a road trip where they... Well, I suppose it wasn't thrillery.
Maybe I have seen a lesbian thriller before then. I retract my lesbian thriller statement.
There you go. 6 out of 10 for Love Lies Bleeding. Death of a Unicorn is the title I was looking for. It stars Jenna Ortega, who was Wednesday, of course.
I'll be there. I'll be seated.
Oh, of course you will. And Paul Rudd, who you love also.
Oh my God, I'll be there and seated.
Death of a Unicorn. But in the meantime, this is Love Lies Bleeding. It's 6 black puddings out of 10. It is in cinemas as we speak. I keep clapping my hands for some reason. Brian, thanks a million.
If you're happy and you know it, you clap your hands.
Round of applause for you.
Yay.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat.